Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Well, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us as we begin a new topic of study today on our program simply titled Reading the Word. That's our goal, opening God's Word and learning more about Him through His commands. My name is Justin Reed, preacher for the Arlington Church of Christ. Hope you can join us at any chance that you have in the future. You would definitely be our welcome and honored guest. We'd love to sit down and visit and study and worship God together with you. This is program 100, by the way, so thank you for being here as we've reached a milestone, 100 different programs. If you want to listen to this one or any of the 99 that have preceded it, you can find them all online anytime at my website. That's readingtheword.net. R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Simply click on where it says the radio program, and there's also bulletin articles there. Links to some other biblical things I have, all free, never ask you for money. It's not that kind of thing. We're just here to study God's Word together. But then you can find all the programs there. Go with me to the second chapter of Acts. That's where we're going to spend the entirety of our study today. Acts chapter 2. Those who know my love of God's Word know that you don't have to ask me twice to teach the book of Acts. I love history, and history is all you find in Acts. It is the history of the Lord's church. And in fact, in the second chapter of Acts, which occurs 50 days after the death of Jesus Christ, we see a beautiful passage that happens on the day of Pentecost. We are going to see the beginning of the Lord's church. Today's lesson is simply titled, What God's Word Does to You. And we're going to key in on the last 25 verses or so of this chapter. Not going to read them all, don't worry. But we found five things that God's Word does to you. But first, let's set the scene, if you will. It is the day of Pentecost. The Bible says they're all in one accord in one place. We see a miraculous event happens that happens to Peter and the apostles is that they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and a mighty rushing wind comes through the house or where they're assembled, and people had looked like they had cloven tongues upon their heads, and Peter and those speaking were speaking in languages of which they had never known. Yet the audience heard them in the tongues, in the languages, in the dialects in which they knew. Now this is the day of Pentecost. There were millions of Jews from all over the world there come to Jerusalem. So it's very helpful when you have an audience that they just speak and you hear it in your language. Peter is accused of being drunk. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. Peter opens his mouth, says, I am not drunk. He begins by preaching a sermon, and that begins in verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. Now, he gets very pointed with his sermon, because there are going to be people in this audience, dear friends, that have been in Jerusalem since Jesus Christ was killed just about 2.5, not even 3 months before. We see he is going to accuse them, place the blame upon them for the death of Jesus Christ, which there were some there who were guilty of it. Yet, dear friends, we all are guilty of it by extrapolation, because my sins held Jesus Christ to the cross, just like your sins held Jesus Christ to the cross. Peter is preaching about Jesus. He makes a quotation from the book of Joel, but I want us to notice here, what God's Word does to you. There are five of them. We'll get one, maybe two in before we have to take a quick 30-second break. We will return here on Reading the Word. But we're in Acts chapter 2. What does God's Word do to you? Number 1, verse 22, God's Word charges you. Notice what Peter says. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Well, Peter is charging his audience. I'm going to reread this and put some inflection. This is, in my mind at least, how Peter may have done this. I don't have the inflection recorded, but I know Peter from reading God's Word. I know the audience from reading God's Word. And I know Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice this. He's going to charge them. And in my mind, Peter, because he's just up preaching, and maybe with his right hand, he extends his right index finger, and he is pointing, kind of like the old Uncle Sam, "I want you to join the army post." He's pointing at these people. Notice how personal Peter gets. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." Five times a variation of the word "you" appears in this one verse. What is Peter doing? He is charging them. Because they killed Jesus Christ, we killed him by our sins, dear friends. But what does God's word do to you? It charges you. Five times in one verse, Peter charges his audience with the death of Jesus Christ. Would you do me a favor? Would you stay with us? We need to take a quick 30-second break to invite you to services at the Arlington Church of Christ, where you can join us in Bible study and in worship. And we'll continue reading the word in Acts chapter 2. In just a moment.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. A dear friend, thank you for sticking with us here on Reading the Word. Maybe you're just joining us. We're reading God's Word in Acts chapter 2 and talking about what God's Word does to you. By the way, if you want to pick up this program again or any of the others in this series, you can do that anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. We're talking about what God's Word does to you in Acts chapter 2. There's 5 points. We've just covered the first one. Let's cover the last of them. Our first one, what God's Word does to you, from verse 22, it charges you. And five times in one verse, Peter charges his audience with killing the Christ. Number two, what does God's Word do? Jump down to verse 36. Peter's still preaching, and he talks about David and how David talked about Christ. And David didn't talk about himself, for David's dead, and we know where his grave is. He says, but David talked about Christ. Look at verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you," once again personal, "whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." What does God's word do to you? Number one, it charges you. Number two, it convicts you. It will convict you. Look again, verse 36. "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God made the same Jesus whom you," he is convicting them, "whom you have crucified." That's the same one God has made both Lord and Christ. They're convicted. Well, yes, it's their sins. Dear friends, we must be like those on the day of Pentecost. We must hear God's word preached, and we must be convicted. Because we need salvation just as much as they did. And so we best not spurn the Lord's invitation. They're convicted. Peter has them, as we often would say, right in the palm of his hand. He has his audience where he wants them. And he says, "You've done this. You have crucified. It's because of you." That was God's plan, yes. But it's because of you. What does God's word do to you? It charges you, convicts you. Number three, it will convince you. It will convince you. Keep reading in verse 37, if you will. "Now when they," who's they? Well, that'd be the audience there on the day of Pentecost. "When they heard this," what's this? That's the sermon that Peter just preached, beginning in verse 14, winding up verse 36. "When the audience heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren," and is supplied. So men, brethren, "what shall we do?" Well, they were convinced, weren't they? They were convinced that they were in a lost state. And they needed help. And dear friends, they realized that they couldn't change, they could not save their soul on their own. And neither can we. The wonderful thing is we still preach the soul-saving message of salvation today. And if somebody doesn't preach what they preach in Acts chapter 2, you don't need to listen to them. Because there's no other way, Acts 4, to be saved, save in the name of Jesus Christ, which what Peter preaches. But notice the people, they were pricked in their heart. And they cried out, "What shall we do?" Dear friends, they were convinced. What does God's word do to you? It'll charge you. It will convict you. It will convince you. But number four, it will convert you. God's word will convert you. Keep reading verse 38, and then we'll drop down to verse 41. Then Peter said unto them, these men that had just cried out, "What shall we do?" Peter said unto them, to repent. Change in thought results in a change in action. To repent and be baptized. And conjunction joins the two. Both are essential. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Dear friends, God's word converts us. How are we converted? By repenting, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. You go through the book of Acts, and you see conversion account after conversion account after conversion account on how to be saved. God's word will convert you. It will change you out of sin. When someone obeys the gospel, we often call them a new convert, and we often put them in a new converts class. That's what the word of God does. What does it do to you, dear friends? It'll charge you, convict you, convince you, convert you, and one final one. By the way, it does start with a C. God's word will change you. Look at verse 47. You got a group of people who were murderers, who were accusing Peter and the apostles of being drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, which they were not. Notice this great change that has occurred. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see a great change. Dear friends, I don't know one person who's put on Christ in baptism who has not changed his or her life. Now, I know some who didn't act the way they should, but we have a changed life. We are changed. I'm no longer the old Justin Reed. Once I put on Christ in baptism, I'm a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Alive in Christ, arise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. God's word changes us. By the way, quick note while we're in this passage. Do you join the Lord's church? Or do you join a church? Did you join a church? Did you go before some council to be voted in? Well, that's not what they did on the day of Pentecost. Notice how people are part of the church. Verse 47, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Literally, the idea in the Greek is, as they were being saved, the Lord added them to the church. I haven't gone up before a board to be voted in. You don't find that in Scripture, dear friends. If you've done that, go ask them, why are we not doing what God's Word says, and take them back to Acts chapter 2. What does God's Word do to you? Five simple things from Acts 2, and they all start with a C. It'll change you, it'll convict you, it'll convince you, it'll convert you, and glory, hallelujah, it'll change you. Now it's up to you. See, God's done his part. We often sing the invitation song, "What Will You Do with Jesus?" The question comes to you. God's word won't change, convict, convince, convert, or change you, charge, or change you if you don't obey it. If you don't listen, if you don't do what he has said to do. Dear friends, if we can help in any way, go to my website, readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on contact. Please reach out. Love to sit down and study with you. If you want to listen to this program again or any of the others in their entirety, you could do that online as well, readingtheword.net. Hope you can come visit us sometime at Arlington. You would be our welcome honored guest. We'd love to visit with you. Hope you can also join us again next week, same time, same place. Why? We're going to study again. New topic of Scripture. Don't want to tell you what it is because I want you to be here as well. May the good Lord bless you and may he keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.